So my title is A Few Bumps on the M5. This is work done with Dan Fried, Ruben Manasian, and Greg Moore, the HEPTH number here. And I'll also discuss some work with the same, the last three authors, which will appear soon, I think at least this year. And I'd like to mention that we owe a debt to several people, but in particular to Raoul Bott and Ed Witten, who made particularly important comments. As you'll see, my title was a weak attempt at a joke. I wasn't really trying to disparage British motorways, but to indicate that trying to understand the five-brain of M theory has been a rather bumpy road, and that we're, I'll discuss some of the bumps that were encountered, and we'll see that there are also a few bumps that appear in the talk. So an outline of what I'm going to say. I'll start out by explaining what the problem of the five-brain anomaly is. This is a quick summary of work that appears in a paper of Ed Witten's about a year and a half ago. I'll then discuss the mathematics needed to tackle this problem involving bumps and curves. And then I'll explain how the anomaly is canceled. As I've been complaining to Mike Green and John Schwartz, canceling anomalies in a unified theory of everything is not what it used to be. And so that probably won't interest you so much. And therefore, I'll also discuss a few applications of this formalism. First of all, to an understanding of the conformal anomaly of the somewhat mysterious 2-0 theory that appears on the M-theory 5-brain. And then, secondly, to a problem which I've been bothering many of the supergravity experts about, which is the question of where the Chern-Simons terms engaged supergravity come from when you do a Kaluza-Klein reduction. So what is the problem involving M-theory 5-brains? Well, a 5-brain of M-theory breaks the Lorentz symmetry in 11 dimensions down to the Lorentz group acting tangent to the 5-brain, and then an SO5 which rotates the 4-spheres at fixed radial direction from the 5-brain. If the 5-brain world volume is W6, then at least to mathematical precision good enough for me, although not good enough for Greg Moore, what that means is that if you look at the tangent space of your 11-dimensional manifold restricted to the world volume, I guess I can use this pointer, restricted to the world volume of the 5-brain, that splits into two pieces. There's the part which is the tangent space to the 5-brain, and then a normal component, the normal bundle. And if you think about what kind of diffeomorphisms preserve the 5-brain, they are of two kinds. First of all, you can make diffeomorphisms acting on the coordinates of the 5-brain, so just diffeomorphisms acting on W6, the world volume. And then secondly, you can make diffeomorphisms which act as SO5 gauge transformations on the connection on the normal bundle. What that means is that if you have the 5-brain, you can take the S-sphere, the S4 at some fixed radius, and you can rotate it, and you can rotate it by amounts which vary over the 5-brain. And for those of you that can only think in ADS space, you should just think of SO5 as the SO5 gauge fields that one would get in a Kaluza-Klein reduction when you go very close to the 5-brain. Now, M-theory in 11 dimensions, we think, is a consistent theory. Therefore, it's diffeomorphism invariant. There are no anomalies. And if it is consistent also in the presence of a 5-brain, which is certainly required for the full theory to make sense non-perturbatively and for various dualities to work, then both of these kinds of diffeomorphisms should continue to be good symmetries of the theory without any anomalies. So we should compute the anomalies to see whether they in fact vanish. And this was done, well, actually, there was earlier work by Duflew and Manasian that had to do with the understanding of the tangent bundle anomalies. But the full treatment was in this paper by Witten. And in any six-dimensional theory, the anomaly is determined by an 8-form using a descent formalism. That is, given a closed gauge invariant 8-form, you can always write it as D of some 7-form, which is a kind of Chern-Simons object. And the gauge or diffeomorphism variation of I7 is D of some 6-form, and the anomaly is the integral over the 5-brain world volume of this 6-form that you get by descent. The question is, what is the 8 form that you start with? Well, I'm summarizing a somewhat complicated calculation very briefly here, but for a charge 1 M5 brain, the 8 form has two contributions, at least naively. The first, the most naive contribution, comes from simply looking at the zero modes, which we know form a tensor multiplet of 2 zero supersymmetry, and for a single 5 brain, this is just a free theory, so there's no problem in computing what the anomaly is. And if you think about the fields here, there are two of them that are chiral. They're the anti-symmetric self-dual tensor fields, which are chiral. They're singlets under SO5, but transform under the SO5 1 Lorentz group. And then there are fermion fields, which are spinners under SO5. So you get contributions to both the tangent and normal bundle anomalies from the zero modes. Now, it's well known when you have topological defects that there can be another contribution to the anomaly coming from inflow from the bulk, which can cancel the anomaly. And there's an obvious source of the inflow here coming from the fact that in M theory, there is a C3 wedge I8, which I called I8 in or inflow, where C3 is a 3-form potential, and this is a 8-form in curvature. Now, if you compute the variation of this, well, we can integrate by parts and write it as G4 I7. The variation of G4 is 0. The variation of I7 under either kind of diffeomorphism is D of some I6. If we integrate that by parts, we get DG4 times I6. And a 5 brain is a magnetic source for G4, which means DG4 is a kind of 5-form delta function. And if we integrate that out, we get an integral over the 5 brain world volume of the I6 that you get by descent from this I8. So there are two contributions. You add them up, you check very carefully, and you don't find zero. What you find is a quantity that involves the second Pontryagin class of the normal bundle divided by 24. So this was the problem that was presented by Witten. And I'm not sure how seriously people took this. For the 2A 5 brain, you can in fact cancel the anomaly. The fact that you can't for the M3 5 brain seemed to involve some peculiarities of SO5 as compared to SO4. But nonetheless, this is a problem that has to be resolved if M-theory makes sense. So I will first discuss a resolution to this problem that is not so much in the language of how we think of the 5-brain in M-theory, which is as a smooth, soliton-like object, but rather in the language where we think of the 5-brain as being a magnetic source for G4. We don't think about it as a smooth, classical solution. And then I'll talk towards the end about the sort of other point of view. So for right now, we just want to think of the 5 brain as a magnetic source for G4. G4 slash is G4 over 2 pi, which is a notation we use to remove 2 pi's in various places. And this kind of form, where this is some delta function, is really too singular to allow a careful definition of the 11-dimensional supergravity action in a 5 brain background, because the M-theory action involves terms that are cubic in G, and the cube of a delta function doesn't make much sense. Now, given a surface, the 5-brain world volume embedded in 11 dimensions, there's a well-developed formalism for smoothing out the source and capturing its topological structure. Basically, this delta function one could define locally in terms of a delta function and transverse coordinates to the brain, but there would be global issues about how you patch that description together. And you can find a nice description of how all this works in the book by Botten II on algebraic topology. No class fields here, but some mathematics is unavoidable. So there are a number of elements that go into this. First of all, in order to make things well-defined, we can cut out a tube around the 5-brain and remove that from our space-time and then take a limit as the radius of the tube that we've removed goes to 0. So what this means is that every point on the 5-brain, there is a disk of radius epsilon. That disk varies along the 5-brain, and the total space of that is what we call d epsilon. It's the disk bundle of the 5-brain. And we will define the bulk integrals as a limit as the radius of this disk goes to 0 of the bulk integrals in 11-dimensional space minus this disk. And we'll use the fact that the boundary of this is a sphere bundle over the 5-brain, that is, at each point on the 5-brain, there is a sphere of radius epsilon, a four-sphere of radius epsilon, which is the boundary of the disk. Now, in addition to removing a region around the 5 grain and then carefully taking the limit as we put it back in, we can also smooth out the source. And again, I'm just summarizing very briefly here what that involves. So we replace this 5-dimensional delta function by a smoothed out quantity d rho of r in the direction radial to the 5 grain with integral 1. And then there has to be some kind of a 4 form, which in general must depend on the connection on the normal bundle. And this formula is determined by several facts. First of all, we want the source to be normalized correctly. So if we choose an arbitrary function rho of r that goes to minus 1 with 0 slope here and then goes to 0 at some finite distance from the 5 grain, the derivative of that will look like a bump, and it's called the bump form for obvious reasons. So that's one of the bumps on the M5. And the quantity E4, or E4 over 2, is called the global angular form. And if we didn't have to worry about SO5 gauge fields, or the connection on the normal bundle, the naive formula for this would just be a wedge product of dy's times y, where y hats are isotropic angular coordinates. That is, y hat is y over the magnitude of y, where y are the transverse coordinates. But if you want to write down a quantity which continues to be closed and is gauge covariant in the presence of a non-trivial connection on the normal bundle, you need to generalize this naive term to a covariant derivative of these coordinates and terms involving f, where f is the curvature of the connection on the normal bundle. So this quantity generalizes the naive volume form on S4 in a way that satisfies all the physical conditions that you would like, that it has a correct normalization over the fibers of this sphere bundle, that it's closed, and it's gauge covariant. So that allows one to have a very well-defined notion of what the 5-grain source is that is completely smooth and well-defined. And now we have to ask what this tells us about anomaly cancellation. So in the absence of a 5-grain in M-theory, there is a well-known Chern-Simons term, minus a 6 times the integral over our 11-dimensional space of C3 wedge G4 wedge G4, where G4 is the field strength of C3. Now, in the presence of a 5-grain, we have taken this delta function source and smoothed it out. And because DG4 is no longer 0, the relationship between G4 and DC3 has to be modified, even locally. I'm not going to talk about the global conditions. That's sort of beyond what I can cover in the time given. But the modification to the relationship between G4 and DC3 in order to be well-defined on the 5-grain can be shown to take this form. It involves a correction d rho wedge E3-naught, where E3-naught is related to this global angular form E4 by the descent procedure. That is, d E3-naught is E4. Now, this looks familiar. This is very similar to the relationship, the modified relationship between the 3-form field strength and the 2-form potential involving a Chern-Simons 3-form, which is crucial to the Green-Schwarz anomaly cancellation mechanism. And as it does there, here this implies a crucial fact. It implies that there has to be a gauge variation of the 3-form potential in the presence of a 5-grain, which is related to a quantity E21, which again is related to this by the descent formalism, just as B in the Green-Schwarz formalism has to have a non-trivial gauge variation. So what we've found is that a term, the Chern-Simons term, which looked completely innocuous because it didn't even depend on the metric, in fact, when we try to give a careful definition of the 5-grain, in fact has a dependence under gauge transformations acting on the normal bundle. So given this modified relationship between G4 and C3 in the presence of a 5-grain, we have to modify the Chern-Simons term. And there's a natural way to do that because there's a kind of descent formalism which continues to hold that tells you that G4 minus a quantity is D of something else. So the natural object that generalizes the Chern-Simons term has the same form but has C3 shifted by a quantity sigma, which is rho E3-naught over 2. So this correction vanishes as we get away from the 5-grain, but is non-trivial near the 5-grain. And now it's a simple matter to compute the variation of this. C3 varies according to this formula, and if we take the variation, it is a surface term, we can integrate by parts, which gives us an integral over the boundary of this disk bundle, the sphere bundle, and then taking the limit as epsilon goes to 0 all the other terms are higher order in epsilon, and we're left with an integral which involves a wedge product of this global angular form times itself times this object related to it by descent. Now, if E4 had components that were only tangent to the force sphere, this integral would clearly be zero, but it doesn't. Because of the SO5 gauge field, it picks up additional components. And this integral is non-zero, and in fact, it was worked out in a recent paper by Bott and Cataneo, and it's precisely P2 of the normal bundle over 24 sub or super 1, meaning you do descent on P2 of n. So secretly, there's a third source of gauge variation in the 5 brain coming from the Chern-Simons term of M-theory, and that variation precisely cancels the remaining piece, and therefore the 5 brain anomaly cancels. All right, so now let me spend a few minutes talking about a couple of applications of this formula. This is work that will appear hopefully soon with Greg Moore and Ruben Manasian. So we've shown that the anomaly cancels for a charge 1 5 brain. I'm going to call the 5 brain charge Q5 rather than N, since N already appeared as the normal bundle. Now, we don't know how to compute the anomaly for arbitrary Q5 because we don't understand the structure of the 2-0 theory for arbitrary Q5. It's some non-abelian tensor theory, whatever that is, and we certainly don't know how to do one-loop computations in that theory. But given that it cancels for charge 1, let's assume that the anomaly cancels and explore the consequences of that. So if the anomaly cancels, well, there are three contributions to it. Two of them we do know how to compute. We know how to compute the contribution from the inflow, the C3I8 term. That's some term in the space-time action, which is perfectly well-defined. And it's linear in Q5 because it involves C3 once. There's this modification of the Chern-Simons term, and we also know how to compute that for arbitrary Q5, and it's cubic in Q5. So if we demand that the contribution from the zero modes on the 5 brain cancel those two contributions, then we get a prediction or a statement of what the anomaly in the SO5 current has to be in the 2-0 theory. It has to be Q5 times the anomaly for a single tensor multiplet plus Q5 cubed minus Q5 over 24 times P2 of the normal bundle, where, as I said, this cubic term comes from the modification of the Chern-Simons term. And this must be an exact formula if we, and if someone ever learns how to do computations in the non-abelian 2-0 theory, this will be a very non-trivial check. Furthermore, this R-symmetry anomaly by the multiple of anomalies is related directly to the conformal anomaly of the 2-0 theory and gives an exact prediction for what the conformal anomaly of this theory must be. It has a contribution of order Q5 cubed, which is compatible with the black hole analysis done by Gubser, Klebanoff, Zeitlin, and perhaps others. And it's compatible with a recent calculation by Hensington and Skenderis using the ADS-CFT correspondence to compute the conformal anomaly by regularizing the supergravity action and computing its dependence on a conformal factor. All of those calculations are compatible with the Q5 cubed dependence. We predict an exact 1 over Q5 squared correction to those results. Now, for lack of time, I won't go through the details, but one could ask whether there's some way to check this order Q5 term. And there is. You can take the M-theory 5 brain and wrap it on a 4-cycle P in some Calabi-Yau space. That gives you a theory in 5 dimensions, and the wrapped 5 brain becomes a chiral string. This is the model that was considered by MSW, Maldesanis, Strominger, and Witten. And what they found was a chiral string, and they did a somewhat involved, at least to me, computation of the zero-mode structure on that chiral string using index theory, and used that to compute both the level of the SU2 current algebra and the left and right moving conformal anomalies. Now, without doing any zero-mode calculation, this statement in that case gives you an exact prediction for what the anomaly in the R-symmetry current should be, that is, its level. And by the multiple of anomalies, it gives you a formula for C-right, the right-moving conformal anomaly. And if you compute the right moving conformal anomaly using this prescription, you find precisely the formula in MSW, which has both terms cubic and linear in Q5. So I think that gives an independent verification that both of these terms are there and that the anomaly does cancel, although it hasn't, as I say, for the unwrapped 5 brain, the cancellation of the anomaly for arbitrary Q5 at this point is an assumption, but I think one that's extremely plausible and leads to an interesting prediction. The 5 brain, yes, I know. The second application has to do with the presence of Chern-Simons terms in gauge supergravity. I apologize, I was making this up last night and I couldn't remember, and it may be that I never knew exactly who was responsible for all this. But in S5 times ADS5, there's a well-known term involving a Chern-Simons 5 form. D of this is trace of F cubed. And here there's an SO6 gauge field, and F is the curvature of that SO6 gauge field. And in S4 times ADS7, I think it was Bernici, Pilch, and Van Nieuwenhuizen that worked this out first, there is a somewhat more complicated-looking Chern-Simons term that involves an omega-3 and omega-4 and an omega-7, and d omega-3 is omega-4 is trace F wedge F, and d omega-7 is trace F to the fourth, and in this case, there's an SO5 gauge field. Now, these terms, to my knowledge, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, have been determined not by doing a Kaluza-Klein reduction of M theory on S4 or 2B theory on S5, but using maybe some of that Kaluza-Klein reduction to provide hints, they were determined by the Noether method just demanding supersymmetry in the lower dimensional theory and working very hard. But it's a, I think, somewhat interesting question of just where these terms come from if you try to do a direct Kaluza-Klein reduction. And an important clue to this comes from the fact that if you look at this Chern-Simons term in seven-dimensional supergravity and you relate these Chern classes to the Pontryagin class, that in fact this term is proportional to the sort of Chern-Simons term for the second Pontryagin class of the SO5 gauge field. So this is our old friend P2, our old uncancelled friend who has now been cancelled. So what is the problem in trying to do the Kaluza-Klein reduction? Well, the problem is to understand how to generalize the kind of Freund-Rubin ansatz that G4 is n times the volume form on the four-sphere, if we're thinking about the M-theory case, to include fluctuations in the metric and the other field in the correct way. And I guess the correct way means so that one correctly decomposes the massless fields and makes things diagonal and does it right. Now, I think that our formalism actually provides a very quick answer as to how to do this correctly. And, well, there are fluctuations in C. They're somewhat complicated. They involve higher spherical harmonics on the S4. But if our goal is just to understand the Chern-Simons terms, those don't involve fluctuations in C. They involve the Kaluza-Klein gauge fields coming from the metric. So the only question is, how do we include fluctuations in the metric in this ansatz? Well, the answer is you should write G4 as n not times the volume form, but times E4, this global angular form, because E4 is the object which continues to be closed so that you still satisfy the Bianchi identity, is SO5 gauge covariant, and reduces to the volume form when you turn off the SO5 gauge fields. And C3 is n times the quantity that you get by applying descent. So the Chern-Simons term of 11-dimensional M theory has this C wedge G wedge G, and if you just put this in and drop the fluctuations in C, because that's not what we're interested in, and you apply the Bott-Cottineau formula, you get N cubed times the quantity related by descent to P2 of N, which is precisely the Chern-Simons term. So I was asking, as were Ruben and Greg, many supergravity experts, where this term came from. The answer was that we knew where it came from all along if we just thought for a minute. Now, in addition to these known terms, which go as n cubed, there are other contributions, other Chern-Simons terms in 11-dimensional supergravity, which have not been written down in the literature, to my knowledge, but could be written down very easily, and we will write them down because it doesn't require much work, coming from the C3 times I8 term. If we put this ansatz in, even just having C3, ignoring the fluctuations in C3, this gives rise to additional Chern-Simons terms, which are linear in Q5, since it's linear in C3. And these additional terms, which are order 1 over Q5 squared, or 1 over n cubed squared compared to the leading term, are required in order to match anomalies between the supergravity and ADS space and the conformal field theory on the boundary. Now, a similar computation in 2B theory is somewhat more involved because there's no action, but one can do a Kaluza-Klein reduction of the 2B equations of motion. And while we haven't filled in all the details yet, I think it's there's strong indications that the answer will be that we get the required Chern-Simons term, that is the 5 form whose exterior derivative is trace F cubed, with a coefficient which is Q3 squared, or N squared, if you want, and that this will be the classical contribution to the Chern-Simons term. However, we know, I believe, although there seems to be some controversy or at least confusion about this, that if this is going to match correctly with the anomaly of the conformal field theory on the boundary, that conformal field theory on the boundary is not un, but sun, or suq3 in the notation I've used here. And that has an anomaly, which is q3 squared minus 1. So if Juan is correct, there had better be a minus 1 correction to this classical term. And this correction, I believe, means that there has to exist a one-loop correction in 2B supergravity on ADS5 times S5, a one-loop correction that involves a three-point coupling of Kaluza-Klein gauge fields and is higher order in alpha prime, because to get this correction, you need to take g-string squared and divide it by a quantity which is related to alpha prime using the relation between alpha prime and g-string. So this is a kind of interesting prediction. Juan tells us that by the next string conference that I'm slowing down, not stopping, that we will know how to quantize string theory in a Ramon-Ramon background. Once we do that, we have to be able to do one-loop computations. But if we can do that, then I think there's a rather interesting check of whether this one-loop high-order and alpha prime term actually comes out correctly and matches the anomaly in the correct way. And I'm done because I don't have any conclusions. Thank you.
So we have time for some questions. Please.
Yes, this is Dr. Kitten. The quadruple calculation that is three-dimensional Chern-Simons theory leads to the conclusion that quantum Chern-Simons theory can be understood as a beautiful algebraic way based on quantum conforming the algebra of the connection you started with. Is there a similar beautiful algebraic way to characterize what happened in the calculation?
I'm not sure I understand the question well enough to give a coherent answer. Perhaps the only thing I can say is that this formalism and this formula of Bott and Cottoneo did appear in work that they were doing on knot invariants. The formalism is very similar to what one needs in order to frame curves in order to compute knot invariants, which is obviously related to Chern-Simons theory. But how far it goes beyond that, I really couldn't say.
Chandra?
I believe it does reduce to Witten's. I don't think all four authors are in complete agreement on this, but it has to do with a question of how you smooth out the five brain when you take M theory on a circle. The naive thing would sort of be to put one of these bump forms around each of the five brains in a chain. But I think that that is not really what you want to do, and that does not seem to reduce to Witten's cancellation in 2A theory, because the way that you're smoothing things out is X11 dependent, and in doing the reduction, you want to do something that's X11 independent. So instead, you smooth it out by putting a bump form that surrounds all of them and then taking a limit where the end caps kind of don't contribute. I think one can reduce it, but it's, I don't think, it certainly doesn't exist in the literature, but we've done some work on that, and I think it's very plausible that if we're sufficiently careful, we can show that it does reduce to his mechanism in the two-way theory.
Perhaps one final, Renata, one final.
I would say one loop corrections in 2B string theory on ADS5 times S5. Well, you'd have to do a I think you'd have to do a computation in 2B string theory in this ADS5 times S5 background that involves a three-point function of SO6 gauge fields, because you're looking at a correction to the Chern-Simons term, and the Chern-Simons term is cubic in the gauge fields. So there'd be some three-point function of three Kluze-Klein gauge fields at one loop. It might be possible to reduce that to some simpler computation using some analysis of the action or some topological argument, but I think that's the diagram that one would need to analyze.
I think at this point we should thank the speaker again.